Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Samaches. The opening sugya will be one that focuses on the, as we have recorded in the under the nosei, the topic heading that you find in the margin. We wrote Hesber Loshon Klal Godol. We're going to focus on the meaning behind the phrase Klal Godol. The Mishnah could have just as well written klal, without the word godol, meaning klal omru b'shabbos, a rule. What does it mean, a big rule? This discussion will carry us down to about a quarter of the way from the bottom of the Omid, and at that point you'll notice a bow tie shape, and at that point the Gemara will start to focus on the content of the Mishnah. And we just want to point out now that it's very important to be quite familiar with the Mishnah and the explanation, and our hope is that you had a chance to listen to our previous shiur, especially the end of Daf Samach Zayin, where the Mishnah started. We turn to the Gemara. We open up with a question, and you'll notice it's a long question marking. It will help to note that you'll see a shin to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, and a descending vertical dashed line indicating that all of these lines form the question. The Gemara asks, "My taimo tono klal godol." Now, we've dashed underline godol because the emphasis is on that word. Why does the Mishnah use the expression a big or major rule? E leimo mishum dekaboi lemisni oid klal acher tono klal godol. If it is because we are anticipating another rule that will be taught, and there is such a rule on Daf Ayin Hey Omid Beis. And as a result of that, so this is the big klal, and then on Ayin Hey Omid Beis is another klal. I guess you would call it a less significant klal. And this setup is actually found elsewhere, Vigabi Shvius Nami, regarding the Mishnayos in Maseches Shvius, the tractate that deals with the laws of the Shemitah year, the sabbatical year of the agricultural cycle. Nami Mishum Dekaboi Lemisni Oid Klal Acher, because you will find a later rule over there, Tona Klal Godol. So the Mishnah opens up in the 7th parak of Shvius with that expression, klal godol, because as the Gemara just said, there's a later klal. So if that is the explanation for the term godol accompanying the first rule, there is a problem. V'ho gabi meiser dekotoni od klal acher in Mishnayos in the first parak of Maseches Meiseres. You find Mishnayos with a rule, followed by another Mishnah with a rule. Velo toni klal godol, and you don't find the expression klal godol accompanying the first rule that is stated. So to suggest that the word godol is stated because we are anticipating a second klal that will be taught down the road, that isn't the reason for using the word godol. So what is the reason for godol? Omar Rabbi Yossi bar Oven, Shabbos u'shvius de'is behu avos v'toldos, tono godol. Shabbos, our masechta, and shvius are examples of areas of law where there are primary activities and secondary activities. Those are ovos and toldos. So therefore, tana godol. Therefore, we use the word godol. Meiser, the less ba ovos v'toldos, the realm of meisris, the meiser tithe, which doesn't have in it ovos and toldos, lo tana klal godol. So the term godol is not used. So we're saying now that the term godol reflects an area of halacha where ovos and toldos are present. Ovos and toldos, as we mentioned, they're primary activities and secondary or derivative activities. The Gemara asks, Ula Bar Kapora. Bar Kapora was a figure who authored Tanaic sources, or edited Tanaic sources in the form of Brisos. So Ula Bar Kapora, Ditoni Klal Godol B'Maiser, in Bar Kapora's corpus of Tanaic literature dealing with Maisris, he does use the word Godol. My Ovos and my Toldos Ika. Well, if Godol is associated with a topic that has Ovos and Toldos in it, so what Ovos and Toldos are there by Meiser that motivates Bar Kapora to use the word Godol in the realm of Meisris? Elo lav hainu taimo. So now we take a new approach and suggest a new reason for the use of the word Godol. And we will see shortly that the word Godol is a word that helps to contrast a given topic with other topics. You will notice that we have a diamond marking that appears over the next few lines. And under our Mivne heading, we've noted Noisim, these are topics, Shebohem, Kotoni, Habitui, Klal, Godol. And by scanning down the page, you can see Shabbos, Shvius, and Meiser, which is, of course, taking into consideration Bar Kapora, you find the term Godol. So now let's see the Gemara. So we say as follows. In asking what is the reason for Godol, so Elolav Hainu Taimo. Godol Oin Shel Shabbos Yoyser Mishel Shvius. The word Godol is indicating that Shabbos has a greater a punishment associated with it than Shvius. The Ilu Shabbos Esau. Shabbos has ramifications and applications, bein betolush, bein b'mechubar, whether you're dealing with items that are tolush, detached, as is the case in baking or grinding flour, that the wheat is detached, bein b'mechubar. It applies to things that are growing as well. The prohibition of pruning trees, of watering plants. The ilu shvius, whereas when you're dealing with shvius, betolush lesa b'mechubar isa, shvius has no halachic application to things that are detached. Certainly on a doraisa level, shvius is not applicable to things that are detached. Shvius are laws that primarily govern agricultural activity with regard to things that are growing, and therefore we say that betolush lesel b'mechubar isa, it has application only to the realm of mechubar, to that which is attached. So Shabbos, when we say godol oncho, it's the potential for violation by Shabbos is greater than by Shvius, insofar as Shabbos covers that which is detached as well as that which is attached. Shvius applies only to that which is attached. The Godol, now we have to explain Klal Godol by Shvius, and that's what the Gemara does. The Godol Oinsha Shel Shvius, Yoyser Min Hamaiser, the possibilities of violation in the realm of Shvius are greater than that in the realm of Maiser. The Ilu Shvius, with regard to Shemitah, Isa Bein B'Maichol Odom Bein B'Maichol Behemo, the rules of Shemitah apply to human plants, meaning plants for human consumption, as well as that which is grown for animal consumption. The Ilu Meiser, B'Maichol Odom Isa B'Maichol Behemo Lesa. However, the requirement to tithe, that applies only to food that is harvested and for man, as opposed to food that is harvested for animal consumption. Ulabar kapora. Now, as far as the piece of Gemara that we're about to continue with, just note on the side of the Gemara text the nun that's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line. This is a long point. So we're focusing now on bar kapora, labar kapora, de toni klau godol b'maiser. How are we to explain the godol with regard to maiser? So he says, godol oishel shel maiser yoser mishel peya. Maiser has application and hence the potential of violation with regard to more areas, more examples than peya. Peah, this is a new topic that we're citing. Peah is a tithe for the poor that is left in the form of standing produce left unharvested deliberately for the benefit of the poor. So we say that the realm of Meiser applies to more examples than the realm of the payoff tithe for the poor. The Ilu Meiser, when it comes to the Meiser tithe, Isa b'te'eno v'yerek. One, when he harvests figs and vegetables, he has to tithe them. V'ilu payoff leso b'te'eno v'yerek. If one has a grove of fig trees or has a vegetable patch, one does not leave the unharvested corner of a vegetable patch or vegetable garden, as well as not leaving a percentage of the figs unharvested. Disnan, and the Gemara will now reveal all of these details, giving us the sources. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source which focuses on Peah, and the source will tell us the rules in determining what one leaves as Peah. And you will see that we will be excluding, and you can even glance down a couple lines. You see we've dashed underlined things where we will exclude limute teno. You might notice that expression. And we also have limute gerek dashed underlined. The rules stated in the Mishnah dealing with Peah come to exclude the need for leaving Peah of figs and vegetables. However, when it comes to Meiser, you will tithe from figs and vegetables, so that the realm of Meiser is Godol, is more inclusive than the realm of Peah. Hence, Bar Kapora uses the term Klal Godol by Meiser. It's bearing in mind Meiser in contrast with Peah. So the Mishnah says, and we have a frame around this Mishnah from Peah, Klal Omru B'Peah. The rule regarding Peah, Kol Shehu Oichel V'Nishmar V'Gidul Min Oretz U'Likitosu Ka'achas U'Machnisa L'Kiyum Chayav B'Peah. So we have a number of requirements in order for something to meet in order before we can say you'll leave it as Peah. And the Gemara will go over each one of these. So we have anything that's oichel, and it's oichel means food item, nishmar, it's something that is guarded, is fenced in, gidulo min oretz, something that grows from the ground, and likitosu kachas, its harvest is in one shot, at one time period, everything is harvested, and machnis l'kium means it's gathered in for storage. It's gathered in for storage, in other words, something that has a long shelf life. As we said, the Gemara now goes over each one of these terms and sees what is excluded. In other words, what won't be included in the payoff tithe requirement. Oichel, it has to be food. Limute sfiche setis v'koitza, to the exclusion of these plants which are grown for their dye color value. Vinishmar, limute hefker, something that's guarded, is fenced and cultivated in a guarded fashion. That's to the exclusion of something that's unowned, that's declared hefker, unowned. So that's something that's hefker, you don't leave, if you go to a field that is unowned and start harvesting from it, you don't have to leave a corner of that field as payoff. Vigidulo min oretz, limute kmein upitrio, something that grows forth from the ground is to the exclusion of these different types of fungus growths, like truffles and mushrooms. They don't grow forth from the ground. They might develop on the ground, but their development is through spores in the air. Ulekitoso kachas. This is limute te'ena. The nature of the te'ena is that it doesn't have a single point in the season for figs being harvested. They appear throughout different times of the growing season, figs on the tree, so that it's not gathered in one ingathering. That's why it's not lekitoso sukachas. So something like that that doesn't meet the lekitoso sukachas requirement will not be expected to have the payot tithe. Umachnisa lekium, something that is stored as one might store in a silo. So that's limute yerek, to the exclusion of vegetables. The ilu, so that the realm of payah limits these two examples, whereas in the realm of meiser, you'll see we don't exclude them. Vilu gabi meiser tanan, regarding meiser, the rule is klal omru b'meiser. Kol shehu oichel v'nishmar v'gidula min oretz. Notice there are only three things that have to be met in order to be qualified or require a tithing. Then we say chayav b'meiser. So if it's oichel, now we know what oichel is, it has to be that as opposed to a dye plants, and if it's a hefker, so it wouldn't be chayev in meiser, and kamein and pitrus, the fungus growths would not be chayev. However, v'ilu l'kitoso k'achasu machnisa l'kiyum lo tran, those requirements are not stated, therefore we're not going to exclude the fig. So figs will need tithing, the meiser tithe, and we're not going to exclude vegetables. They too will need the meiser tithe. Hence, it can be said that meiser applies to more examples than payah. Hence, klal godol the meiser. As we continue, we now focus on the content of the Mishnah, and we have a note under our nosei mivne heading on the side of the Gemara. We note that this topic will keep us busy till daf samach tes amud aleph. So you can see it's a rather long sugya, and we have a bow tie, which you'll see shortly. It highlights the names Rav and Shmuel over here, and then on the base you'll see Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So the topic here is Tinok Shinishba. This is a reference, literally it's a child taken into captivity. It's a reference to a Jew who grew up in a non-Jewish environment, and only in his later years, and was once he reaches adulthood, does he discover that there is such a thing as the Torah and the laws of Shabbos. So, until he came to that realization, though, he was growing and living and developing in Nishba, as we said, literally is in captivity. But it's a spiritual captivity. Namely, he's in a totally non-Jewish related environment, a non-Torah environment, whereby he has no way of knowing the laws of Shabbos, for example. So someone like that, he will have in effect violated many, many Shabbosos and many, many Malachos, totally unaware. When he becomes aware, does he have any requirement by way of needing atonement in the form of bringing a sin offering? A korban chatos is that which one brings when he violated a transgression, primarily transgressions that would carry with them a kores penalty if done knowingly. Would he bring a sin offering, a korban chatos, upon discovery of Hilchus Shabbos? So Rav and Shmuel say he is chayev one sacrifice. True, he violated many, many years of Shabbosos and many, many years of doing Meleches Shabbos, but he is chayev only one sacrifice. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say no, he is totally exempt, and their opinion will appear on Omid Beis. Also, the Hesper, we're going to explain Hanasibois Me'achorei Adukotani, where we want to see the circumstances behind that which our Mishnah says. Hashocheach Iker Shabbos. Our Mishnah, in if you have Samach Zayin Amud Beis available, you can see the under the number one heading of our Mishnah, we had someone that was Shocheach Iker Shabbos Vosloches Harbe B'Shabosas Harbe. It said Eino Chayv Elo Chatos Achas. This is someone who the translation is someone who forgot the basic Shabbos, and he did many malachas over many weeks of Shabbosos. The Mishnah says he's chayav only one korban chatos. Well, what are the circumstances behind that? So that's what we've noted in our introduction that we'll be involved with trying to understand hadik katonis shocheach ikur Shabbos, etc. Eino chayav elo chatos achas. Now the Gemara. Rav Ushmuel Dami Travayu Masnisen, our Mishnah that said one chatos is enough. Well, for whom is that? So Rav Shmuel, at this point in the Gemara, this is not the final word though, at this point they say the Mishnah is describing Batino Shinishma Levain Hanochrim, Vigair Shinizgair Levain Hanochrim. This is a person who was as a child taken into captivity amongst the Gentiles, or someone who converted to Judaism while living amongst the Gentiles. So this is a person that, being that he comes from, in the case of the Gershon Iskari, he comes from being a Gentile. So he never learned about Shabbos. So it's true, he converted and then continued living as a Jew, but he was, in the course of his continued existence as a Jew, he was violating many Shabbosos, but coming from a background of not ever having known about Shabbos. Well, when he discovers there is a Shabbos, and he understands retroactively that he had violated many, many Shabbosos, he brings one sin offering. Avol hikir ulebesov shochach, if a person learned about Shabbos, but later on forgot, Chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. He is going to be chayav on each Shabbos for an additional sin offering. He is like a person that forgets that today is Shabbos. Tanan. Now we cite our Mishnah and try to evaluate what we just learned. Hashocheach Iker Shabbos. This is a quote from the first case of the Mishnah, and it went on to say, Eino chayav elo achas. So who is chayav achas? Lav michlal, is it not implying the havya le yediyah meikora, that we're talking about someone who once knew about Shabbos? So it seems to be talking about someone who once knew about Shabbos. That's like Hikir Ulubasov Shochach that Rav and Shmuel used, and we just saw two lines above. They said he's chayav for each Shabbos an additional korban chatos. Our Mishnah would seem to say no, he's chayav only one. Kmos is low. My kol hashochach ikur Shabbos. What does the Mishnah mean when it says Shochech Ikur Shabbos, Tehoiso Shochuach Mimenu Ikoro Shel Shabbos. It means it was forgotten from him, but it means to say he never knew the principle of Shabbos. Alright, so now what about someone, so that someone who never knew about the principle of Shabbos, he'll bring one. This now is, we lead into a question that lasts a few lines. You can see we have a long question marking. Avol, hikir lebesov shochach mai. Well, what about someone like that, that once knew about Shabbos, but he since has forgotten and doesn't recall as time goes on? What are we to infer? Mai, what would be the din? Well, chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. This is what Rav and Shmuel would have you believe. Well, if that's true, aditoni, instead of teaching the case number two of the Mishnah, which also culminates in chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos, so instead of teaching case number two, which is hayodea ikur Shabbos, V'osa melachos harbe b'shabbos is harbe. Someone who is aware of Shabbos and does many Shabbos activities over the course of many weeks of Shabbosis. It is true that when each Shabbos rolls by, he's unaware that today is Shabbos. Nevertheless, chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Now, let us think about this for a moment. This case, which case number two of the Mishnah, he is chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Now, if I tell you that someone who once knew about Shabbos, but forgot about Shabbos, but yet he will be chayav on every Shabbos, what would you say about someone that didn't forget about the principle of Shabbos? He just forgot that today is Shabbos. Well then, certainly, if you're going to say someone who forgot the principle of Shabbos nevertheless will be chayav on every week, for every week a separate chatos, so certainly someone who didn't forget the principle of Shabbos. Therefore, if Rav and Shmuel are correct, listening, it should have taught Hikir u'lebesof shochach, someone like that, as being chayav for every Shabbos, but kol shekein ho, and certainly that which the Mishnah teaches. So what the Mishnah teaches is really unnecessary in light of what Rav and Shmuel are suggesting. The Gemara answers, my hayodeya ikir Shabbos. The case number two of the Mishnah, do you know what that really is? Mishayodeya ikora shel Shabbos v'shochecha. This case number two is exactly what Rav and Shmuel are talking about. It's the case of Hikir Ulebesov Shochach. Okay, let's keep that in mind. So Hikir Ulebesov Shochach, someone who once knew about Shabbos in his distant past, but has since forgotten, will be chayav for every Shabbos. We continue with a question on the top of Amud Beis. Aval lo shochecha mai. Well then, what would the din be in light of this, regarding someone who didn't forget the principle of Shabbos? He didn't forget Iker Shabbos. He just forgot that today is Shabbos. So what would the din be with regard to that? Is that not a more serious situation? So wouldn't you say, Chayav al kol melacha u'melacha? Someone like that should be chayav for each Malacha done on a Shabbos, not just one korban chatos to cover the entire Shabbos, but multiple chatos for every malacha that corresponding to every malacha that he violated. So, if that be the case, in other words, if we continue the line of reasoning and the position that Rav and Shmuel take, it would then stand to reason that someone who didn't forget Iker Shabbos, just forgot that today is Shabbos, he would be chayav for each malacha, if that be the case. So instead of the Mishnah teaching its case of chayav al kol malacha malacha, which is a case number three, which reads, instead of teaching hayodeya, avitoni means instead of teaching hayodeya shuhu Shabbos, v'yosa malachos harbi b'shabbos is harbi, someone who knows that today is Shabbos, and he just doesn't know which activities are meleches Shabbos, what activities constitute Shabbos violations. And he does many melachos over the course of many, many Shabboses. Chayav al kol melacha melacha. He is chayav for each melacha, a separate korban chatos. Well then, listeni state hayodeya ikur Shabbos. Someone who knows the principle of Shabbos. He doesn't even know that today is Shabbos. He knows the principle of Shabbos. And yet, you are telling me, namely Rav and Shmuel are telling me, that he would be chayav for each malacha. Well, state that case for kol shekein ha, and certainly someone who knows that today is Shabbos. Elo, masnisin, the case of the Mishnah, that says he's chayav one korban, kishehikir ulebesof shochach. That's a case where he knew about Shabbos once and subsequently forgot. And we are not going to say, like we thought, that he's chayav for each Shabbos, a separate chatas. Uderav Ushmuel Nami, that which Rav and Shmuel taught, Nami, kihikir, ulubasof, shochach domi. Vahochi itmar Rav Ushmuel. Vahochi itmar, Rav Ushmuel, de Amri Chervayu. The restatement was of Rav and Shmuel is as follows. They both say, Afilu tinok, shenishbo bein anochrim, v'ger shenizgayer lebein anochrim. Even someone like that, a child who was taken into captivity as an infant, and never had a chance to learn about Shabbos, nevertheless, kihikir l'vesof shochach domi v'chayev, he is like someone who did have a Shabbos knowledge once, but subsequently forgot, is chayev to bring one korban. One korban for all of the Shabbos violations. Rav Yochanan of Rav Shimon Lakish, Dami Trevayu, Dafka Hikub Sof Shochach, the idea of bringing one korban chatas for many Shabbos violations is only relevant to someone who once knew about Shabbos. Someone who never knew about Shabbos, Potter. He won't bring anything. Rashi explains he is like someone that's called onus. Onus is a situation generally associated with beyond one's control. And he is therefore considered onus and not a shogeg. And as an onus, he doesn't need to seek out any atonement. The Gemara now raises a question. You can see it's a very long question. We have a long Tanaic source. You can see the frame and the kuf, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled. Kuf is a kushio with a descending vertical dashed line showing you how long this question actually is. To spoil anticipation or the suspense, we're going to tell you ahead of time that in this source there is a reference to a tinok shenishba. There's a little arrow that appears to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a couple lines down from here, and at that point the source will teach that one is chayav a sin offering, a single sin offering, in the case of a tinok shenishba. So who said, let's just recall, who said that a tinok shenishba will generate the need for one korban? That would conform to Rav and Shmuel. Because according to Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, tinok shenishba doesn't bring any sacrifice. We have a tanaic source that will pose a difficulty for Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And this long question is, as you can easily see, focused against Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Meisvei. We have this Tanaic source, and it parallels information we saw in the Mishnah also. Klal Godol Amru B'Shabbos. A major rule stated with regard to Shabbos. Kol HaShocheach Ikur Shabbos Ve'osam Olochus Harbe B'Shabbosus Harbe. Someone who forgot the principle of Shabbos and performed or violated Molochos, many Molochos over many Shabbosus. Eino chayav elo achas. He's chayav only one sin offering. Ketzad. What would be an illustration of that, or an example of that? Tinok shenishba levein hanochrim, v'ger shenizgayer bein hanochrim. An infant that was taken captivity, a Jewish infant, of course, that was taken captivity by the Gentiles, or a convert who converted in a Gentile environment. V'oso molochas harbe, b'shabosas harbe. Eino chayav elo chatas achas. Here you can see we've dashed underlined the main point, and it being Eino Chayav Elo Chatas Achas, and we're talking about a Tinok Shenishba. More information here: V'Chayav Al Hadam Achas. Dam is blood from animals. One is the Torah prohibits the consumption of dam. In fact, dam and chalev, which is cited very shortly here, deals with different animal sections that are forbidden in consumption, and they carry with them dam and chaliv carry with them a kores penalty when done knowingly, and therefore when done unknowingly, a korban chatos. Now we're here, we're describing someone who over the course of years ate dam and ate chaliv. So for all the portions of dam that he ate, he'll bring only one korban chatos, and for all the portions of chaliv he ate, he'll bring only one korban chatos. V'al avoda zora achas, if he was guilty of idol worship, he'll bring an idol worship. Two is something that, if done unwittingly, generates a korban chatos. So he may have bowed many times in his life till now, he'll bring only one korban chatos. And likewise with all sins that carry with it a kores penalty, even though he was guilty of multiple violations, but since he is a tinig shenishba, he'll bring only one for all of the violations. Umunbaz poter. Munbaz is a name, and he's a tano, and he exempts. V'kachoya munbaz don lifnei Rabbi Akiva. And thusly, munbaz reasoned to support his position in the presence of Rabbi Akiva. Hoyel umezid kori chote v'shogeg kori chote. We find in the Torah a person who is deliberate and a person who is unwitting are both referred to by the term chote. And Rashi quotes the sources for that. Ma mezid. Since both are both shogeg and mezid have the same term with them, we make a comparison. Ma mezid shoyselo yedia, just like someone who is a deliberate violator or someone who knew and nevertheless violated. Af shogeg shoyso lo yedia. So too the shogeg, and the shogeg is the example of someone who will bring a sin offering, is someone that had a yedia. He had knowledge to the exclusion of the tinok shenishba. Armalo Rabbi Akiva. Hareini moisif al dvorecha. Rabbi Akiva hears what Munbaz is saying, and he says, "You know what? I'm going to add to what you're saying, and after I add to what you're saying, let us see if your logic still holds up." So Rabbi Akiva takes over now and says, "I ma meizit shohoise dia b'shas maise af shogeg shohoise lo yedia b'shas maise." If you want to compare Mezid to Shogeg, so, or more accurately, Shogeg to Mezid, if Mezid is someone that if we call him Mezid, that means he's someone that when he is violating, he's aware. He has awareness at the time of the violation. So too, the Shogeg, we've been translating as unwitting, is someone who likewise has knowledge at the time he is violating. Now, between you and me, that would seem to be inherently contradictory. How could someone be unwitting when he has knowledge of his violation when he's committing the offense? But nevertheless, let's play along. So that's what Rabbi Akiva tries to argue to Munbaz, hoping that Munbaz would cave in at this point. That you see that you can't compare Shogeg to Mezid. Amarlo, and surprisingly, Munbaz says, "Hein, yes, the kol shekein shehosafta. Yes, you have added and strengthened my position." So that will necessitate, obviously, if you're talking about someone who's called a shogeg, he's called unwitting, and you're telling me he has knowledge of his offense at the time of his commission, so where does the shogeg manifest itself? Where's the unwittingness? That will be dealt with later in the Gemara. Amarlo, so Rabbi Akiva says to Munbaz, what we said before, Lidvorecha, according to you, that the shogeg is someone that's like the mezid and has a yedia b'shas maisi, has awareness of his offense as he's committing it, ain't the kori shogeg el mezid. That's mezid, that's deliberate, that's premeditated. The Munbaz position, as we said, we'll get back to this later on. In the meantime, though, we have to emphasize what's important for us. Kotoni mia, it said, however, in this source, ketzad tino. Just use your arrow and navigate above, and at that point, we saw a tino shenishba, and it said in the source is chayav one korban chatos. for all the years of his violating the whatever he was violating. Bishlamo l'Rav Shmuel Nicha. When we say whatever, we were focusing at the beginning of the source for his multiple Shabbos violations. One korban will suffice. So Bishlamo l'Rav Shmuel Nicha. This works out well according to Rav Shmuel that said that the Tinok Shenishba is chayav one sacrifice. Elo l'Rav Yochanan Rav Shimon ben Lakish Kashya. But according to them, they exempted him. Is this source not a problem? Amri Loch Reb Yochanan Veresh Lakish. They respond. They will respond. Lo mi ikah munbas de potar. Is there not munbas who, in fact, exempted? He exempted the Tinuk Shenishba. He exempted the Tinuk Shenishba on the grounds that he never had a yediyah. Anan de amrinon kemunbas. When we said that the Tinuk Shenishba is exempt, we are saying like munbas. We're based on munbas. My time of the munbas, what is the source behind or for munbas? Tichtiv, Torah achas yelochem lo'oise bishgaga. The somichlei, and next to this in the Torah it says, v'nefesh asher taseh biyad ramah. Hikish means compared. When you have two topics or points mentioned next to each other in the Torah, we call that a hekish. And the Torah is hekish shogeg lemezid, is comparing the realm of shogeg with regard to bringing a sin offering to the realm of mezid that has applications to the kores penalty. Kores, we learn from different places in the Shas, Rashi explains, it's a situation where someone dies prematurely, leaving no descendants, no offspring. Could also refer to a case where the punishment is one's children die. That's kores in general terms. The Torah compares shogeg to mezid. Ma mezid choiselo yadia, just like mezid is someone that has awareness, has knowledge. Av shogeg choiselo yadia, so too the shogeg, in order for someone to be classified as a shogeg is someone who brings a sin offering. It would have to be someone that had a yediyah, to the exclusion of the tinok shenishba. V'rabbonon hay Torah chasmai avdilei. What do the rabbonon do with this pasuk? What Munbaz did, we just saw. He used the Torah chasiyelochem shibshkoga to compare shogeg with mezid. We should point out, by the way, that the pasuk itself is found, as you can see indicated by the in the Torah, or the it's in Bamidbar Tezvav, Parshas Shlach, and the Torah there is dealing with people who violate idolatry. There are those who may have violated it unwittingly, the Beshogeg, and there are those that violate it knowingly. That's the topic, though, of the Torah in Bamidbar Tezvav. So the Gemara here asks, Rabbona hai Torah achas mai avdilei, what do they derive from that pasuk? Answer, Miboy Elohu l'chidemakri le Reb Yishu ben Levi lebrei. They need it for that which Reb Yishu ben Levi taught his son. In other words, we'll discover here what Reb Yishu ben Levi taught his son, and we will be able to tell you that that's what the Rabbonan were doing with this pasuk. Torah achas yelochem loisa bishkaga. As we mentioned, this is a posuk dealing with the need to bring a sin offering in the event of one's violating the practice of idolatry. And we say that was in Parshas Shlach. Uksiv, and the posuk says, we continue at the top of Daf Samach Tesamar Aleph, v'chi sishgu v'lo sasu es kol mitzvos ha'ele, also in Bamidbar Tezvav. The pasuk there indicates someone who is shogeg and doesn't perform the mitzvos. Uksiv anefesh yishir taseh biyad rama. That is a reference to someone who violates in a mazid fashion. Hukshu kulam lavodah zarah. What Reb Shimon Levi is teaching his son, and hence this is what the rabbanon say, that all cases of avodas, all cases of violations of transgressions are compared to avodah zarah. In other words, in order to determine whether or not you will need to bring a korban chatos, in order to evaluate the offense, will this offense generate a korban chatos? So we're saying that we compare all offenses to avodah zarah. Mal avodah zarah, mal halon, just like avodah zarah, dover shechayov ma'azdo nikoreis shigos chatos. Avodah zarah is something that we see there in Parshas Shlach. A person, if he violates it knowingly, he is chayev kores. If he does so unwittingly, he's chayev a korban chatos. Af kol dovar shechayim al zdonu kores shechosu chatos. So too, any other Torah transgression that carries with it a kores penalty, that kind of Torah transgression will generate the need for a chatos if done unwittingly. So, we saw examples already today of that. For example, the one who eats dam. One who eats dam is chayev kores. If he does so, bemazed, knowingly. So if he does so unwittingly, he will bring a korban chatos. Because dam is similar to avodah zarah in that sense. They both, when done bemazed, knowingly, there's a chiyuv kores. Therefore, when done unwittingly, there will be a chiyuv korban chatos. And an example of something that's not like that would be, let us say, someone eats meat that's unkosher. An unkosher animal is simply a lav. It's a violation of a negative command. But nowhere in the Torah does it say that he is chayav kores for it. We should have pointed out that on the second line from the top, the pasuk says v'nefesh shetase biad roma. It goes on to say in that pasuk v'nichrisa, and that there is kores. So that's the pasuk in the context of avodah zarah that mentions that avodah zarah carries with it a kores a kores penalty for one who does so knowingly. So the question that had been asked was, what do the rabbanon do with the Torah achas pasuk? We learn from that one rule applies to all transgressions that have the characteristics of avodah zarah. Specifically, those that carry with them a kores penalty will also generate the need for a sin offering when done unwittingly. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.